The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back at 7:03, hour two, such as it is. I'm Randy Corcoran. So glad to have you along. I am your self-proclaimed, sycophantic, deplorable Trump cultist. Happy to be sitting here in my bright red MAGA hat and really looking forward to the battles ahead in 2020. This, if you understand that politics is blood sport, and people are not messing around, and you are ready for the game, ready for the fight. Just this maneuvering between Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi, two of the most incredibly significant and powerful and just unpredictable strategists ever. You can say whatever you want about Nancy Pelosi being past her shelf life. You certainly can't say that about Trump. I mean, he is really, forget about a stupid statement here or there. I mean, this guy, energy and accomplishment and focus, just unbelievable. But regardless of your personal or my personal feelings about Nancy Pelosi and the horrific shape that her own district in California is in after decades of her representation, she is a master strategist, you have to admit. And she put off the impeachment hoax as long as she could. She saw the Democrat candidates for president even, and of course, all of the folks pushing her from her left saying this has to happen. And so she punched and she moved and she got a mess. She got a stocking full of coal, the weakest, thinnest, fastest, only partisan impeachment articles ever. I mean, it's just incredible. And yet she is still playing the cards. She's still playing the game with the cards that she was dealt, many of which she drew from the bottom of the deck. I mean, she kind of set this up for herself and she caved. But we see her strategizing and using her ability to get in front of a microphone and a bleeding, bloated, fawning crowd of reporters to talk about how unfair Mitch McConnell is and how scary it is that the Senate has already preordained the outcome and just all of the silliness, using Chuck Schumer, who is a master, literally a master of propaganda and argument and spin. I mean, these guys are good, like them or not. And it's all of those forces, the deep state, the intelligence agencies, and these top-notch, at least strategically, politicians, all arrayed against Donald Trump. And so the message that I get for people like me and hopefully people like you, and Republicans, Tea Partiers, conservatives, I said earlier, you know, blue-collar workers who like getting raises and having job choices and just all across the spectrum, is stand up and fight in their face. And Donald Trump, you know, he doesn't, I know he's angry that he's not getting his trial, and he maybe never will. I don't think that there should be a full-blown trial in the Senate. We can talk about that if you want. But man, when he's out in front of the crowds, when he's sending out his messages to his increasing number of Twitter followers, he's almost up to 68 million now. Over 5 million, I think, since I started actually paying attention to the number maybe a year or so ago. And but he's poking. He's jabbing. He's aggressive. He's mocking and humiliating right out of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. He's not taking the unserious seriously. And he never acts afraid. He almost never backs up or backs down. And that is the lesson that we have to take for our politics as we head into this new decade. 21st century politics, man, it ain't the same. And you know what? That's kind of a dumb thing to say when you think about it. If you go back and read during the early years of our country and the early years of our government feeling its way into form and shape, people hitting each other with canes on the floor of the House of Representatives, on the floor of Congress, duels between elected officials. And the newspapers were admittedly and known at that time to be totally partisan one way or the other. And they would call people, you know, Abraham Lincoln was a gorilla and a monkey face and so ugly and so, you know, unsophisticated, unadvanced. And they would just go after anything. They'd make up affairs. If there were real affairs, they'd report them. They'd make up diseases and all kinds of immoral or aberrant behavior, and they'd throw it out there. So that's really nothing new. What's new is that we're now 100%, 24 hours a day, instant access to every piece, every swing, every parry, every, just everything. And because the news media now, the main news media, is so controlled by the left and so supportive of the left, the left can easily, I've played the collages here where on a given day, you'll hear the same catchphrase, walls are closing in, you know, the time is running short, whatever it is, you'll hear it on 5, 10, 12 different stations. So it's really different in that way that it can all be manipulated so quickly and the propaganda can be so very, very effective. But you know what you can't deny? You know what you can't misrepresent, misconstrue? What the American people see from this president, and that is unfathomably amazing results. Go ahead, angry lefties. Call me or text me and talk to me about the results that aren't 100% fantastic. The only complaint I could have right now with this, well, I shouldn't say the only serious, the foundational, fundamental complaint that I could have for this president is there is no effort to trim back spending right now. And I get this all the time. Well, you're the chairman of the largest Tea Party group in Colorado. I thought the Tea Party was for, you know, fiscal responsibility and reducing spending. You know, the Tea Party, TEA, taxed enough already. We've got our tax cut. There'll be more tax cuts after this next election if the Republicans are in charge of both branches of government. Well, and I could guess we could say all three as we continue to load up the Supreme Court. But There's no, with Democrats, radical Democrats running and directing Nancy Pelosi in the House of Representatives, where do you draw the line? How does the president exert influence over the out-of-control spending right now? As much as I hate it, as much as I've cried out against it, as much as I don't like it now, it's not the battle that's before us. The battle that's before us is defeating the evil that's trying to permeate the soul of this country. Immorality, socialism, communism, government control of every different aspect of your life, and people willing to lie, cheat, or even sometimes tell the truth, but use the truth in order to destroy other people. That's the left. That's the people that we're battling against. That's why it's a joke when Christianity Today and their outgoing, yes, his last act as the outgoing editor of the magazine is to join all the Never Trumpers and all of the other lefties. And listen, you know it's true. Evangelical Christianity is being influenced greatly by the left, getting young people who don't have, you know, a good foundation on our country's principles or a good biblical foundation, feel good pastors, and using, you know, Jesus to support socialism and other stupid things like that that are going on in the church as we speak today. So I don't think of this outgoing editor, nothing to lose, and I'll bet Christianity Today pays for that editorial. I'll bet their subscriptions and their revenue drops some. We'll see. The left may jump in there to support them. But if that happens, that'll tell you everything you needed to know about that article, that opinion piece, in the first place. So it doesn't seem to matter. They cannot. They've slowed this president. There's no question about that. Imagine what would have been accomplished in a host of areas, including internationally, if China and North Korea and other world leaders weren't looking at this president and saying, man, if I can just hold out long enough, maybe they'll get him. Maybe the Russia collusion hoax will take him out. Maybe the obstruction of Congress and the abuse of power articles of impeachment will take him out and we don't have to deal with him for another 5 years. That is clearly, certainly impacting the ability for Donald Trump to use his skills to make deals, close deals, trade deals, etc. Nancy Pelosi, man, she tells us that this president, we can't wait for the election. I know it's only 11 months away, but we can't wait for the election because this president is a clear and present danger to the foundations of our society. I'm prayerful and sorrowful to have to move forward to defend the Constitution. When in the hell did Nancy Pelosi ever talk to you before about religion or the Constitution or, for God's sake, the Founding Fathers? Give me a break. So now she says, I've got to impeach now. We can't wait for the next election. He's a clear and present danger to America as we know it. But let's go ahead and make the trade deal, the USMC. Well, let's just go ahead and get that done. I can work with the president for that. And you know she was grinding her teeth. That deal is going to, again, next year, launching into 2020, supercharge our economy. But she had to. Her own people were saying, my God, this will help our constituents. It needs to be done. We've got to do something constructive before the end of the year, since we've spent so long fighting this take out the president battle, from the Mueller investigation to the articles of impeachment. Man, oh man, full lines. I'm so sorry, everybody. I got to look over there once in a while. Let's see who's been waiting the longest. Looks like Harry. Harry in Denver, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm feeling pretty okay. Good. A little cold, but
check
nothing.
Check that oil. Check that oil on that bike before you take off tomorrow.
Hey, there's no drips under it. I know it's good to go.
Okay. Listen, okay, I was going to talk about Chuck and Judy, but this is more important right now. Okay, so here we go. We're on The View, and Robert De Niro, that great political analyst who's a high school dropout, at the very end of the interview, well, no, not at the very end, but during the whole course, he's dumping on Trump and all the vitriol and all the vexations, but he doesn't really pinpoint what it is that he doesn't like about Trump, which is very interesting. And the same thing with Whoopi Goldberg. They don't really specifically say, what is it that's wrong with this president? But at the very end, my mom, when she was alive, well, God bless her, she passed away. She was Puerto Rican. And my father's from Guyana, Dale, Wales. So, but at the very end, he says, Latinos and blacks, get out and vote. Get out and vote. And I said, that's interesting. Why is he picking on those particular groups? Why isn't he picking on the Polish, the Italians, the Greeks, the Muslims? Why is he picking on Latinos and blacks when Latinos and blacks are doing much better now under this administration than under Obama? So I said, I think this is very disingenuous. I think it's very manipulative, and I don't understand why he's doing it. Well, I do understand why he's doing that. But the fact of the matter is, it's like, oh, yeah, Latinos and blacks, your only hope is Joe Biden. Joe Biden doesn't care about you.
God.
It's outrageous. Joe Biden, have you ever seen on YouTube, Joe Biden is taking a photo op. He has a little girl, 13 years old, in front of him. And he actually says, and this is clean, he says, you have no idea how horny I get having a 13-year-old girl in front of me like this.
God, I don't think I've seen that one, but I have seen some really creepy pedophilic looking video of Joe Biden with hands in the wrong places and the young girls pulling away, you know, just instinctively feeling uncomfortable. This guy is a weird dude.
Recently, one of the leftist girls on the show said, "Oh no, the dossier was bought first by the Republicans." I go, "What?" I mean, and then Jeanine Pirro, who I think one day will run for president, said, "Which Republican or what group of Republicans bought it?" And she shied away and she wouldn't even look eye to eye with Jeanine. And I said, "Oh, another fake news. Another fake news." And then Whoopi saying, like, "You know, Trump is so divisive and he thinks everybody who's crossing the border is a criminal." Once you cross that border illegally, you've committed a felon.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Harry. There is some truth to the fact that Republicans started the investigation, started to look into investigating Donald Trump when they were trying to take him out. They were trying to do op-ed research. So there's some truth to that as a starting point. But that's not who took it to this incredible level that AG Barr is going to deconstruct when we get to some of this sound. Hey, I've got full lines, buddy. But I thank you very much for waiting and for weighing in on the show.
Check that oil.
All right, brother. Thank you so
much. See
you
later. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll get one more. We take them in order around here, unless there are ladies first. And right now it's Jack in Wyoming. Good morning once again, sir. Jack, you with us? Jack. All right, Jack. We're going to have to let you go. Father Hugh is next. You know what, Father Hugh? I want to give you some time, and we are at the break. So if you can stick around, that's great. One line's ringing. Oh, one line is open is all we got, 303-696-1971. And I've got to get to this AG Barr audio for you, too. It's really, really that good. So stick around at 720. The sun's up, looking good. High of 60 today, 64 tomorrow. Randy Corcoran with you at 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710. KNUS.
Second time that bumper music has popped up. And so, Kevin, make a note. We've got to find the old Jared Polis clip where he shouts, "I don't want it. I don't want it." Because I love when that bumper. I don't pre-plan. I know everybody does their bumper music and stuff. I'm here 3 hours a week. I just don't have time to mess with the music. I know what I like. They put songs I like in there, but that's about as far as I go. But anyway, we are back at 725. I'm Randy Corcoran. I've learned that, you know the old adage, watched pot never boils or whatever. That appears to be the same in the microwave because I was standing in there trying to boil water for my tea. I'm doing the honey lemon stuff for the throat today. And it just wouldn't boil, so I just sat down. So as I get my bearings, Father Hugh was kind enough to sit tight, and we'll bring him on, a friend, a big supporter of our station, and somebody we often see at some of the many things we do around town. Thanks for waiting, Father Hugh. Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas to you. For unto us a child is born.
Yeah, it's our week, man. It's something.
Yeah. And I'm calling mostly just solely to support Chuck and Julie, and I'm hopeful they'll find another niche, because otherwise we aren't going to have local coverage except for like you and Matt Dunn, maybe. In any case, here's my perspective. What the guy – I'm sorry, let me back up. I listened to a ton of talk radio, and I, of course, suffered through Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and the whole bunch of that, the rent seekers and stupid, venal people on the Democratic side pushing this thing. By the way, a technical matter. You know, I'm sorry, guys. The Constitution stipulates the grounds for an impeachment. Have you looked? But of course, for the Democrats, it doesn't make any difference. They'll shout and scream. The hyenas, I call them. In any case, the fact is that what Chuck said was, and it mirrored my reaction. I was so sick and tired of listening to the Dems and push their lies and their inaccuracies. I'll stick to that. That I would have welcomed any reason to preempt the impeachment coverage. So Chuck basically says essentially that you know,
listen, man, you're preaching to the choir. And the flip side is, as somebody who has lived through with cousins, not my own children, shootings, white supremacist shootings, and spent time 2 days ago with the parents of young high school hero Kendrick Castillo,
the greatest.
It still goes beyond the pale, even though we know Chuck, and you know it doesn't wish ill will on anybody that's not on the left, and doesn't wish violence on anybody. But
my one liner.
I think a decision had to be made, what else is there to say?
And my one line question to people who took that position is, do you really think that he was advocating a school shooting?
Of course not.
And it's, you and I are lawyers.
It's cancel culture.
You ask the right question, you get the right answer.
That's right. It's the cancel culture at work.
Yeah.
But on one of the most sensitive issues you could ever have around
here. Anyway, and of course, now to be specific, you know I'm a Catholic. And every time I hear Nancy Pelosi say how devout she is, and I think, the Bishop of San Francisco lady should yank you, should deny Holy Communion to you. You're the queen of abortion.
Yeah, sick.
Knock it off. But, we live in a society in which nobody thinks.
Hey, Father Hugh, I want to get your perspective on just this real quick tiny little segment from Attorney General Barr, the one I've played already, but it's the part that was scrubbed from the YouTube version of this interview. Take a quick listen.
You talked in your piece about social justice DAs, and you put social justice in quotes. What do you mean by that? What does that mean, social justice DAs?
Well, there's been this recent development where George Soros has been coming in largely in Democratic primaries where they're not going to be much voter turnout, and putting in a lot of money to elect people who are not very supportive of law enforcement and don't view the office as bringing to trial and prosecuting criminals, but pursuing other social agendas.
Can you believe a high-level U.S. government official actually said the name and tied him to the election interference that's been going on for years and years and years? George Soros.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Love
this guy.
You introduced me to the expression man crush. I have such a man crush on Barr because he's so smart. And he has such gravitas, and he just lays it out simply, but it's a problem. I mean, we have people like Soros, and by the way, here's a quick digression, but not a digression. Russia spearheaded a couple of points over the past couple of weeks in which he says, these people that you see, Brennan and Clapper and whatever, they are tools of other people. And the other people are like the global anti-sovereignty people, like Soros, destroy and use our money to destroy. I just hope, God help us. I hope Trump and Barr survive. I worry.
That is a big, big worry. I'm with you. Father Hugh, I will definitely be here Tuesday, maybe here Monday, maybe we'll talk once more before Wednesday, but if not, Merry, Merry Christmas, and thanks for being a very loyal 710 KNUS listener, supporter, and a great thinker. It's always fun to talk to you.
All we have is ourselves.
That's right, brother. Bye-bye. Yeah, and we know our friends will bounce on their feet. Absolutely. In light of Father Hugh declaring a man crush on A.G. Barr. I know we've got calls. Everybody just be patient. But you have to hear some of this sound. It's just incredible. And Barr, this again is more of the interview, the part that you can actually get on YouTube. The whole thing, except for the 2 minutes where he talks about George Soros. Go figure. But here, Barr was asked about the work of the Inspector General Horowitz.
I think there's some of them very hard to square with the idea that these were just mistakes and sloppiness. I have said that a number of these episodes leave open the possibility of inferring bad faith or improper motive. But I hasten to add that, as I've said all along, that I've reached no determination on that, nor do I think a final determination on that is appropriate until all the evidence is in. The Horowitz himself, in his testimony, I think pretty well summed it up, which is this could be, on the one hand, at the very least, gross incompetence. On the other hand, it could also be improper motive. And he was not in a position to make that call. And that's why we have the U.S. Attorney, John Durham, looking into this.
Yeah, the pit bull, John Durham, the attorney that Barack Obama selected for investigations into even his own party. And the one who is known for, you know, grabbing a hold of that bone and not never, ever letting go. And before we get back to the phones, one more of these clips. This is where Attorney General Barr is asked about some of the commentary from James Comey.
Well, I think the IG report and the recent letter from the FISA court, I think, pulls the rug out from under that analysis. There was serious misconduct, as the court itself has said. And one of the things that I object to is the tack being taken by Comey, which is to suggest that people who are criticizing or trying to get to the bottom of the misconduct are somehow attacking the FBI. I think that's nonsense. We're criticizing and concerned about misconduct by a few actors at the top of the FBI, and they should be criticized if they engaged in serious misconduct. That doesn't mean we're criticizing the FBI, and I think the tack of trying to wrap yourself in the institution and say, gee, people who are criticizing the decisions I made are attacking the institution. I notice people don't do that as far as I'm concerned. People feel free to criticize me, and I don't say, gee, you're attacking the honest men and women of the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. I think leaders, you know, have to own their decisions and are fair game if they make bad decisions.
You know, just a couple more real short ones, and we'll get back to the phones. The thing I love about A.G. Barr is he's calm. He's cool. He lays it out, very lawyer-like. You know, when you are a lawyer setting up your case for the jury, you have lived with that case for a year, years, months at least. You know every facet. You know what every witness has said. You know what evidence is likely to come in, what might not come in. You've got kind of an idea of what the other side is going to do. And you have to put all that away when you stand up to go make your opening argument to the jury, because they don't know anything. The judge will read them a very short synopsis of the case, and if it's a civil case, the plaintiff alleges this, and the defendant has asserted these defenses, and then you have to paint your picture for those folks. And A.G. Barr, every time he talks about this stuff, paints the picture. But what he was talking about, and this came later in the interview, well, he was talking about some of these comments from former FBI director, the very badly disgraced James Comey.
He does not have a factual basis as the Attorney General of the United States to be speculating that agents acted in bad faith. The facts just aren't there. Full stop. That doesn't make it any less consequential, any less important, but that's an irresponsible statement.
And what might you think Attorney General Barr had to say about that?
Well, as I said, I made the same statement effectively and substantively as the Inspector General, which is there are unexplained misconduct that are, it just can't be easily explained as to what was going on there. And as he said, it could involve bad motive. And he was not in a position, given the limited scope he has, of making that final determination. So it's not speculation. But you know, I think there are episodes there that are simply cannot be squared with innocent mistakes. And I think people have to come to terms with it.
So he's not throwing his IG under the bus. He's saying, you know, he had a job he had to do, and he couldn't, there are certain inferences he couldn't make. I still think it's ludicrous for the Horowitz conclusion to be that there were just a lot of mistakes made and we need to tighten things up, to not be able to infer bias from the Strzok and Page texts and from the decisions that were made, the failure to give the president an advisory defensive briefing when some of these investigations were going on into his campaign, to not be able to infer bias, even if you're the AG and you have to take people at face value and evidence at face value, you don't have people under oath. I get all that. It still seemed like a pretty weak conclusion, but it doesn't matter because the facts are laid out. The facts are laid out. And AG Barr, I just love it. Every time he talks about, you know, well, yeah, I can understand maybe some of those conclusions are okay. People do make mistakes. We need to tighten things up at the agency. But there are some things that went on in the so-called investigation of this president, really the coup attempt, the takedown attempt. So many things that went on that are inexplicable, unexplainable. And that's why we have John Durham on the job. Man, oh man, if you are one of those inexplicable, unexplainable actors, it cannot be a very Merry Christmas for you. All right, I promise we get back to the phones. We'll do more of this audio also on the other side, but let's squeeze in John and Joe. John, you've been waiting the longest. John in Denver, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Randy. I agree with you and Father Hugh that we need to pray for our president and General Barr. It's a serious time. But the point I wanted to make was to respond to your characterization of Nancy Pelosi as a brilliant strategist. She should never be discussed without remembering the characterization of her character by her own daughter, who said she will chop off your head and not look back. The woman is a vicious, cruel fascist. She is the kind of person that you do not want to ever become, as she stands third in line, second or third in line, for president of the United States. And she is running this country with that kind of character. And so characterizing her as a brilliant strategist misses the point. She has this kind of coolness in her character. And everybody is inclined to psychoanalyze our president, our hero at this point in time. But the person who needs a psychoanalysis is this woman, Nancy Pelosi. What other kind of person can fly every weekend back to San Francisco in a luxuriously equipped jet with all of the wine that she can order at government expense and then sit in her own district where people are defecating in the streets and suffering and not say a word about it? This is the one, the cool one, who ignores everything around her to achieve her own power. This person is the one who needs to be psychoanalyzed. She just doesn't deserve the characterization of brilliant without the background of just the character of a cold-bloodedness that she really has.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. And, of course, one could say that we've got a president who has some cold-bloodedness as well. I mean, he will not back down. That the difference with him is that he really is fighting for the American people. He really has sacrificed great freedom and great luxury in his retirement to take on this internal corruption and decadence that's been so deeply entrenched into our government. But he fights just as coldly and calculatedly as anybody else, whether you're a Republican opposing him or a Democrat or anybody else. But I think your point is excellent I think they're too strong competing strategist, but she's evil. I mean, this is really the fight of good versus evil. And of course, that's how the left sees it coming, looking back at us as well.
He is warmly calculated.
True.
And toughly, calculated.
You know, this is a great point too, John, because you can just feel it. You can hear it, the love that he has for our military, for our law enforcement, for the throngs of people that will spend the night waiting to get in and hear him speak. And glories in that love, and he shares it.
Remember how people characterized him when he first campaigned? He came to the Western Conservative Summit that first time, and everybody would say, he was like he was talking to me. It was like he was talking to me. That was the general characterization back 3 years ago when he was campaigning, and it's still true. He warmly calculates.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that you waited and weighed in with that point, because it is unfair to equate the two without defining their motives and their purposes and their methods. And this president's methods have reaped tremendous results for this country. Nancy Pelosi's never, ever have.
Right, right.
God bless you, sir. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right, full lines except John's is open, 303-696-1971. So we'll take our pause here. Don't want to cut anybody else short on the phone calls. 15 minutes, about 17 minutes to go now until 8 o'clock. We'll spend a few minutes with Sebastian Gorka, and I think I'll ask him, you know. We've lost a live and local show here on 710 KNUS. What can you bring from the national perspective? And you listen, if I know the guy, I talk to him, I text with him from time to time, not nearly as much as before he became, you know, the assistant to the president that he was for a while, advisor to the president for a while and all. He's just too busy. But I think that's a fair question. Be interesting to see how he answers it. And then we'll talk about some of the topics of the day. But in the meantime, I hope you'll stick around. I'm Randy Corporan with you on Saturday at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Never before have I turned on you when you look too good to me. Your beady eyes that can cut me in two, and I just can't let you be. But it's a free
for all. That reminds me, I wonder if I could get Ted Nugent on for some of my fill-in for Peter during his holiday break. I will definitely be here Tuesday, Thursday, Friday next week, so that's why I'm not so antsy to get to so many different topics as I sometimes am on Saturdays. And maybe here Monday, too, if Peter is not back in town in time for the early morning show. But we will be talking at the top of the hour with nationally syndicated Salem talk show host Sebastian Gorka, the former deputy assistant to the president under Donald Trump, an intelligence analyst, really, really smart guy, somebody I got to know, gosh, years ago when he was in Denver, and have stayed in touch with throughout. So it'll be interesting to ask him what a national show can bring in replacement of a live and local show, since that's what's happened. Looks like Jack is back on the line from Wyoming. We couldn't hear him the first time. So, Jack, all yours, baby. Welcome.
Yeah, the pheasants are waiting for me, so I'm not going to be very long.
All right.
On Bonnewell, okay, here's the deal. It's really pretty simple. Anybody that's ever listened to him whatsoever, there's not one molecule of malice involved in what he said. What he was trying to do is what Hugh said. He was just trying to demonstrate how sick to death he was of this subject on the impeachment. And he didn't think deeply enough to think that there might be some sensibilities offended. But there was absolutely no intent whatsoever to be malicious in that statement. And if Brian Taylor is not grown up enough,
all right, let's stop there, Jack. It's there's always more to the story than what you know. And you know, I spent time with the parents of Kendrick Castillo on Thursday. I know what it was like when the Westboro Baptist bastards were trying to protest the funeral of my cousin and his grandson. This I'm not equating the two. But the sensitivities are so high. I'm not going to argue with the decision that was made. And we're certainly not going to start flapping about the management here. These guys are dealing with a lot, and they have to make the decisions they have to make. But I will say this, Jack. You know, Marilyn wrote this to me last night. She said, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And that's where I get upset, is all of the morons, the leftists, who celebrate a mistake that costs somebody something that they love. You know, I mean, that's the real sickness in society, not Chuck's warped sense of humor that came, and not even warped, but ironic sense of humor that was overstated, overpresented, and should have probably been apologized for right away.
It was irony that he was stressing it.
Without a doubt. I wish you a Merry Christmas, my friend. Don't hit what you shoot at. See you later.
Yeah, I always do.
All right. Oh, man. I'm there's so much to talk about. What's done is done. We all have our feelings. I love my friends and my colleagues here. But I can't add anything to the conversation. So let's look ahead. We've got an excellent new year coming up, and we've got time for now. If we keep it short, we can get these last two calls off the board. Joe, you've been waiting forever in Arvada. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Randy. I just want to say I love both of them, Sebastian Gorka and Chuck and Julie. So whatever happens is it's all good. Anyway, I didn't call about that. I really called to say I am so stoked. The Trump train is just raging. If you're not a Trump supporter yet, I want to invite anybody that's stuck in the middle, please come aboard. And Casper Stockham, you are our man. I got to tell you, Randy, if Ken Buck is out there listening, it's not Steve House. It's Casper Stockham, brother. Casper Stockham is a Trump train rider, and he will deliver in the House. We have got to get Casper Stockham to invite President Trump to the Air Museum again. I don't know if you were at that one.
I was not.
3 years ago?
No.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, I'll bet.
We got to have him back.
Joe, I'm going to try and squeeze one more in. I'm a big fan of Casper's as well. Ken Buck has nothing to do with who winds up ultimately becoming the nominee. Those guys will have to fight it out and take it to the convention. But really appreciate the call. Merry Christmas to you. Let's move to our final call of this hour. Jim in Littleton, thank you very much for waiting.
Good morning to you.
Morning.
Hey, I was just going to chat on something different. You had a great guest yesterday morning. Her name was Maria, and with Matt Dunn, and talking about how Helper set her up in this whole Spygate. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that whole thing.
But you're talking about Svetlana Lakova.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, not Maria. Yeah, sure. Very, very familiar with her, yeah.
Okay, so I was starting to think about how many lives have been destroyed as a result of our government trying to destroy this president. You know, I can just think of a few that, you know, look at, you have Roger Stone now that's facing possible prison. And I'm thinking, what did he do? I think what is they're accused. He got convicted for lying to Congress. I think
these are all process crimes. I know it's yes. Sick.
I know. And you think about, I'm pretty certain Comey has done that. If they dig back down, I wonder if anything's going to happen to him. I wonder about Brennan. All these people have done these things that Roger Stone has done, and they're just skating away. It just shows we have two tiers of a justice in this country. And those that kind of justify what that's going on, I know they are listening to this radio. How can you? Because that is a police state. That is a Soviet state type of government we have. And if we do not, if Barr does not bring this out and bring these people to justice, we are no different than the Soviet Union.
Jim, got to leave it there. Merry Christmas to you, sir. We're at the top of the hour. And, man, so much for the light and cheery pre-Christmas last Saturday before the holiday show. I get it, though. A tough month. But a brand new year ahead, the shortest day of the year right now, which means we see more and more sun every day. We'll be heading into spring. We'll get through this godforsaken 2020 legislative session, and then we can turn our attentions to the November elections. Whoo, game on. And I'm with the caller who said, you know, if you're neutral, if you're not sure, we're happy over here. We are celebrating success with our president, with the fight for liberty, with the amount of people who are waking up to the lies and the misdirections and the crimes and the immorality of the left. And it feels pretty good over here. All right, we do have to take our pause. We'll spend just a few minutes with Dr. Sebastian Gorka when we come back. And I'm going to ask him, you know, you're replacing a live and local show here. What can you bring? Why should people be paying attention? That should be interesting. 758 Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.